Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thoughts, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steve, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact this show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Black culture. Culture is a shared way of living. It consists of values, ideas about right and wrong, customs, beliefs, secular and religious, roles, etc. What is Black culture? Are Blacks detached from their ancestral culture? Have Blacks assimilated into narcissistic European culture? Is that assimilation an attempt to become like their European masters, rich, powerful by any means necessary? How does cultural awareness impact on the individual, relationship, the family, and the community? Here are a few traditions of some of our African ancestors. Marriage. African families were generally polygamous and traced ancestry only through one parent's line. It was a social contract in Africa, and the greater openness of African-American marriages to voluntary dissolution reflected that. Language. Africans were mixed together and rarely afforded the opportunity to speak with their countrymen. They were forced to learn the language of their captors, sometimes learning more than one language, French, Spanish, Portuguese, or Dutch. Religion. Although some of the new slaves were Muslim, most were polytheists who were open to useful new deities. In Africa, religion and family combined in rites to honor and please or gain favor of ancestral spirits who had the power to both harm and reward their living kinsmen. Because these spirits resided in Africa, most Africans in the colonies expected to return to their native land after death. Their children, whose families were American, soon transferred this idea of spiritual African homeland into their own conception of heaven, which outwardly seemed Christian, but was in fact a blending of African and European ideas. A hereafter where deceased kin would gather and oppression would end. Verbal arts. African Americans used folk tales for educational purposes as well as entertainment, where African traditions had blamed the slave trade on white cannibalism and Black greed. African Americans more commonly told stories of kidnapping to emphasize to the Black and white children who heard their tales that in moral truth, enslavement was based upon the theft of human labor. Appearance and kinesis. Masters did not permit blacks to appear in African attire except in certain rare holiday situations. Yet, black Americans still express their own ideas about work attire. When season and climate permitted, African American children wore little clothing except for a loose shift or trousers, not just because their masters were stingy, but because black parents thought more would be both uncomfortable and falsely modest. Away from the white eyes in the coastal low country, black field workers of both sexes often worked stripped to the waist during the summer, much as they would have in Africa. And their habit of going barefoot in warm weather reflected their own traditional sense of comfort. African-American influence did make itself felt in the general adoption of certain foods, relish in West Africa, but it was little appreciated in Britain or Ireland. Okra, black-eyed peas, collard greens, yams, bean seed, peanuts, roasted ears of corn, and watermelon all became staples of African, American, and Southern colonial cooking. Pepper pot, whole cake called Johnny cakes in New England, and gumbo likewise became standard regional dishes. So, black culture in North America appears to have evolved out of the ashes, the cesspool of slavery. It is the product of forced assimilation, cultural and ethical castration, through the subjugation of African peoples to the culture of mental and physical torture, rape, abuse, and murder. In short, black culture appears to have evolved as an adaptation to the systemic debasement of African peoples. More recently, we have jazz, rhythm and blues, rap or hip-hop music, the Afro, Ebonics, the black handshake or the dat. We have soul food and black power all have evolved from their struggle. Maurice Lindsay says in Truth Over Tradition, Ebonics. The word Ebonics was originally coined to refer to the English language of African diaspora. Black people living in the Americas and the Caribbean whose ancestors were brought here on slave ships. The term was created in the 19th century by a group of black scholars who disliked the negative connotations of terms like non-standard Negro English that had been coined by white America in years previously. Therefore, they came up with the term Ebonics. In case you didn't know, the word Ebonics comes from the word ebony, which means black, and the word phonics means sound. So, at its most literal level, Ebonics simply means a black person's speech of English. Our ancestors came here on slave ships from West Africa. The vast majority of them came from a tribe called the Ndjibo, or the Igbo for short, which means Hebrew in English. The Igbo people are bloodline descendants of the house of Judah in the Bible and spoke only the Igbo or Hebrew and Aramaic language. Enslavers would mistake their pronunciation of the word Igbo for Igbo. Igbo for Igbo. The term Igbo stuck with our ancestors, and this is how the word ebony came about. Since the majority of the first enslavers were Portuguese and spoke Latin, they would use the term ebony, which meant black in their language, to describe the physical appearance of the Igbo. African American Registry says soul food is a term used for ethnic cuisine, food traditionally prepared and eaten by African Americans of the southern United States. This style of cooking originated during American slavery. African slaves were given only the leftover and undesirable cut of meat from their slave masters. That's that chitlins and what's that, spare ribs, all that stuff used to be sold. That was trash. So So they were given the undesirable cuts of meat, while the white slave owners got the meatiest cuts of ham, roast, etc. So all that stuff, neck bones, steaks, anything with a bone included in the meal was probably a slave's meal, was garbage to the slave master. We have the Afro or the natural. In the 1960s, black folks finally said, the hell with that. After decades of subjecting themselves to European beauty standards, we decided to take back our hair. This newfound self-acceptance was widely known as the Black is Beautiful movement, which sprang from the Black Power movement, with political activists such as Angela Davis, Huey P. Newton, and Jesse Jackson proudly rocking afros while fighting oppression. The hairstyle quickly emerged as a symbol for Black beauty, liberation, and pride. The Black handshake, or the DAP, Mr. Lamont Hamilton from NeoGrit says, the DAP originated during the late 1960s among Black GIs stationed in the Pacific during the Vietnam War, at a time when the Black Power movement was burgeoning. Racial unrest was prominent in the American city, and draft reform sent tens of thousands of young African Americans into combat. The DAP became an important symbol of unity and survival in a racially turbulent atmosphere. Even at war, we had this problem with Europeans, some Europeans. Scholars on the Vietnam War and Black Vietnam vets alike note that the DAP derived from a pack black soldiers took in order to convey their commitment to looking after one another. Several unfortunate cases of Black soldiers reportedly being shot by white soldiers during combat served as the impetus behind the physical act of solidarity. Such events, combined with the racism and segregation faced by Black GIs, created a pressing need for an act and a symbol of unity, the DAP, an acronym for dignity and pride. The DAP, that's the handshake. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. The Black handshake, that little crazy handshake with the thumbs, the fingers grasping, hitting, and all that stuff that arose from this the GIs and the way they were treated in Vietnam. Okay. So, whose movements translate to "I'm not above you, you're not above me, we're side by side, we're together," provided just the symbol of solidarity and served as a substitute for the Black Power salute prohibited by the military. See, we had the Black Power salute back in the 60s as a struggle against white supremacy and oppression. So, yes, some Blacks or African Americans have been separated from their culture and the culture of their ancestors. Through adversity, they were evolving, defining themselves, and developing in a unified manner. Someone said, "Those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat it." I think they were right. That's like forgetting that a dog bites, and every time you go into his yard, he takes a chunk out of you because you are void of the memory, the lesson, the danger of entering his space. If you do not learn, you cannot grow or defend yourself. You will be forever a victim of the tyranny of others and the ignorance of your own mind or kind. So what do you think, listening audience? What is, are we devoid of Black culture? I got this article, because it's an interesting article called "The Cold Hard Truth About Black Culture." And he said, this guy says, what's his name, Tom? I don't know who it is. This is from Tom Jefferson's Ghost. I don't know who it is. I don't even know if this is a real person. But it's interesting what he said, or whoever. One of the biggest and longest enduring problems that prevents the black community as a whole from truly moving forward towards real progress and improvement is the process of reflection and self-awareness. Self-awareness in realizing we have deep-rooted issues in black America and the willingness to accept, point them out, and therefore solve these problems in a meaningful way. In terms of reflection, oftentimes black people will look for any reason or person or way to deflect self-inflicted troubles away from the source. The man can't possibly be the root of all that cures, that curses, kills, exploits, and outright makes a mockery of the black race. At some point, we need to accept the cold, hard truth about black culture. So, in short, this writer appears to be implying that blacks blame all their problems on being oppressed by the white, by white supremacy, oppression by white people, and refuse to take responsibility for their own behaviors. So, and he goes on to go into as an example, and I don't want to beat this dead horse, but this is the example he used, Trayvon Martin. And he said he wasn't the least bit angry or dissatisfied with the verdict, the reason being all along they were merely tools for the same old cast of 1960 retread black leaders such as Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. Their son's death was made into a public stunt by these individuals who have been and will always be in it for themselves and out for themselves financially and politically. So, and everybody knows the story of Trayvon Martin. It was a kid walking with a hoodie, and a town watchman followed him and eventually ended up shooting him to death. So, and he was, you know, perceived as not guilty. Found not guilty, not perceived, so that was an interesting thing for this man to say. And he goes on to say, let's be clear, Al Sharpton cares about Trayvon Martin's death because this time it just happens the young brother was killed by a man who wasn't of the same race. We know this because not one foot has hit the ground for those young brothers in Chicago, blowing each other away like it's 1930s gangland all over again. So he feels that nobody has done any. We don't have the same energy. You don't have the same energy or reaction for black on black homicide as we do for the homicides between blacks and another non-black person. So if you're genuinely concerned about so-called justice, you can't be satisfied with the outcome of the Trayvon Martin murder case. Nothing about how blacks murder blacks has an impact on the facts surrounding the murder of Trayvon Martin. So, and as far as Jesse Jackson and whatever motive he feels that they have, capitalism is an in-it-for-yourself political economical system. Tools for Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton are good for making the public aware of the atrocity of this crime, and people want to hear what they have to say. No harm, no foul there. And you are never too old to speak about any issue. That's like saying your grandparents shouldn't be saying anything because they're too old to speak. So, you know, because he implied that these guys are relics, too old, same old, or retread black leaders. I don't even know what that means. That doesn't sound to me. So, he said, no one in the black community wants to accept the high murder rate when it comes to black on black crime. No one in the black community wants to accept the fact that most black men between the ages of 13 and 35 are likely to commit crimes in America. No one wants to accept the fact that our black culture went from one positive achievement and intelligence to one of utter emptiness and low standards. And his, he's referring to here, he goes to the rapper situation in the media. You got rappers on Twitter mad over the verdict, yet these same rappers glorified black-on-black violence and ignorance. How many black young men died trying to imitate one of their favorite rappers' songs? Now, I wasn't aware that guys were trying to imitate songs, you know, because of, you know. So, the spokesman in 2013 said, people connect with stereotypes instead of disconnecting to, people should connect with stereotypes instead of disconnecting to overcome them, said Derek Fletcher, a WEAA radio host who was on a panel. We as black men fulfill the purpose of social media. If we show disinterest, it will go away. So basically he's saying if you don't, you know, if you don't turn that radio on, don't buy that record, don't have records anymore, CD or however you get the music, don't download it, don't play it, then it won't get the attention, and therefore people won't put it out there because they won't be able to make money. So don't patronize it. So it says negative stereotypes are dangerous because they can be internalized. He also said that's why media that depicts black males as dumb, violent, and lazy can affect their life direction. So kids can learn from and be influenced by negative images. I'm gonna go back to when I was a kid. I remember, and I'm old. it was a story about a white dude, Robert Wagner, takes a thief. He was good at stealing stuff and things like that, you know. So what happened, as an influence of that movie, everybody started being a pickpocket. And I mean everybody. You couldn't keep an afro comb or pick in your back pocket without somebody taking your stuff from you. So, you know, there's some validity to that just through my own life as a young man. So these images do have an impact. Not everybody did that, though. So everybody didn't start pickpocketing. Certain people will gravitate to that. Maybe they have maybe it's in them already to be that, and that just helps bring it out. You know, I don't know, because, you know, everybody's supposed to the same stimulus. You don't get the same reaction from everybody all the time in terms of social stimulus. Some people who they might be headed that way anyway, and other people who have a stronger foundation will not resort to pickpocketing people. You know, as a lot of guys we did, it was fun. We didn't, not that we thought we would become thieves or anything. It was fun to see if we could do that, you know. So people's perception of themselves are shaped by others' perception of them. That's the Pittsburgh University School of Social Work Dean Larry Davis in 2011 announcing a report on African-American men and boys. He noted that research shows this affects the way whites see blacks, the way blacks believe whites see them, and the way blacks see themselves. In the 70s, hip-hop became a means for blacks in the struggle to express themselves and tell a story about their lives in order to relate to people like them. But the victory of rap was doused by the crack epidemic when drug dealers began to rap. The two professions became forever entwined, rapping and drug dealing, I guess this is what God's saying. And the black men have been associated with the image ever since. You know, so I don't know if you know anything about the crack game and the rap game. You know that there ain't a whole lot of black people bringing, black people not bringing the crack into the country. You know what I'm saying? And I had a story about a guy in New York who was able to bring his own heroin into the country directly, skip the middleman and bring his own heroin into the country. That's rare. A lot of them brothers you see on the street, none of them brothers you see on the street are bringing it in the country. And in terms of the rap game, those rappers that you see, very few of those guys have the ability to push their music and publish it and get it out there so everybody can hear it. You know, they might do it out of the back of their trunk or something like that. Well, now you can do it on the internet. So I guess they do have the ability to push it now because you can do it on the internet. But back then, they didn't have the ability to do that. They did that with the help of someone. So, and so the author has a valid point, but I don't think the black community is leaving out the fact that murdering blacks and crime against blacks, not that it's okay to murder whites, Asians, or Indians, or anybody else, or commit crimes against them. But he has a point to a point. Because sounds a little bit out of touch with the plight of the black community. Last time I looked, gangs and crime and substance abuse, addiction, and sexual objectification have been around long before rap music. The lack of opportunity for economic growth, the flooding of drugs as a means of coping mentally and economically, and guns to defend and perpetuate one's newly acquired empire or self-defense has had a severe impact on the black community. Again, we don't make guns, and we're not initially flooding these things into the community. We don't make guns, so somebody providing these guns to come into the community in abundance. So you can buy a gun illegally. You don't have to go to the gun shop and do it under somebody else's whatever way you do it under. We ain't gonna get into that. So, through encouraging and perpetuating addiction and murder in the black community, substance abuse, addiction, and murder has become commonplace. Not to mention the encouraging and perpetuation of substance use and addiction by mainstream society through advertisements in the media, film, magazines, commercials, etc., and legal sale of drugs like alcohol and cigarettes. Do you see the man anywhere in this story? Mainstream society, role models, and the media encourage the normalization of substance use. Guess it's okay for corporate America and smaller businessmen to perpetuate the sale of drugs, violence, and sex. The media has romanticized thug life for decades. For some people, no matter how rich or poor, crime is a way of life. The black community does not condone or accept black murdering blacks or murder, period. Murder occurs in the black community too frequently. It is an expectation that the perpetrators are arrested. So that's not something that, you know, because it's happening a lot, that the black community, that's not a cultural thing that we accept blacks murdering blacks. And people have been protesting in Chicago and Philadelphia just for that reason, just dealing with the black-on-black crime. So, you know, I don't know that the author is aware of that, but there has been, you know, people protesting, you know, black-on-black crime also. So he goes on to say that we went from Eli Whitney, Booker T. Washington, Frederick Douglass, to Snoop Dogg, Tupac Shakur, and Lil Wayne. Now, I don't know, because out of this bunch, I know I heard of Eli Whitney, Booker T. Washington. I know Frederick Douglass, Snoop Dogg, Tupac Shakur, and all that, you know. But I know. We don't subscribe to these guys as a culture. That's not a cultural thing. We have certain people that subscribe, that listen to these guys, and I don't know. Are they listening to it for entertainment? Is it funny? Is it a flashback? Is it, like you're saying, these guys are repeating what's going on in the hood? And Snoop Dogg said a lot about the drug game when he first came out. Tupac said a lot about a whole lot of things. He talked about, had a rap about Brenda having a baby, a girl who got pregnant. So, and he said some other things that, you know, weren't nice. Lil Wayne, I can't understand what he's saying. I heard him on the radio, but I can't even understand it. So, I don't know. So if you talk about old, if Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are old, these guys are relics. So, but we're not going to get into the concept of old and new, because that's a concept that allows you to throw away something based on how long it's been here, not if it's deteriorated or not. Because we have a caller. Welcome, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought, 5800. Hello?
Hello? Brother Cog. Brother Cog.
Yes, sir. Yes, is this Art? All right.
Hey, man,
how you doing?
What's long time, man.
I can hardly hear you. Can you talk into or closer or something?
Hold on. I'll try to fix it. How's that?
That's good right there.
You can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, I just joined, so I really didn't have any comments. Just saying hello. Just want to listen, man, and, you know, see where the conversation's going.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about black culture, and actually this is I'm kind of piggybacking on Kenny Jones's show on Tuesday, Black Urban America. He talked about black culture, you know, and, you know, I had time to do a little research on black culture, because I was like, well, black culture, what is it? You know, to myself, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, what is black culture? What is it that we all agree upon that we are standing for or believe as a group of people, all black, so-called African-Americans or black people here in the United States, you know? So what's your take on that?
Oh, thanks, man. My take is I think for us to understand our culture, we got to do some research on where we're from. We somehow got to get connected to what tribe we come from the motherland, however it's done through DNA testing or through studies of family history. And then I think from an African-American standpoint, because of the disconnect from the motherland, when we don't know what dirt we belong to, so it's hard to trace our tribal culture. I think the culture is almost family. It's family driven. What culture did your family install to you? From the great grandparents, as far as most of us can go, some of us can go to the great grands and remember them. But the culture given from the family is kind of like where we at. I think that speaks to a lot of the communities now where the kids seem like they accept the culture or almost work through culturalist behavior because there's a disconnect to the elders of the family. I know, like in my family, it was a culture of my family. I don't know as a community, I could speak for a whole community, but we had a family culture that you honor the old, and when the old speak, you have to sit down. Like, you can't stand up when the old is addressing you. You have to sit. It was culture for my family to sit at the table and eat together. That was a family culture, but it didn't spread through the whole community. But we did connect with other families that shared the same culture.
Right.
So, you know, that's my take on it.
That's interesting.
And
you
know
go ahead. No, you go.
And I know that there's been perpetuated cultures through entertainment. There's almost been a propaganda for a new culture for the African-American people. Because the powers that be or certain groups recognize that we have a breakdown in culture. So they've tried to manufacture and sell us and propagate us a culture. And through doing that, it became a culture of conformity through nonconformity. It seems like it'd be a culture, but it's only driven through nonconformity is what it looks like to me. Like, it has no real background. It's like, just as long as you don't conform to what you think society is doing, you're inside of a particular culture. And I think, you know, that like a rebel culture, but the difference is most rebels have a cause, and it's the rebels are working to achieve something that they find to be unjust. But it's like the culture of the groups that we see now, whether it be black, young, white, or white, young whites or young blacks, because the young whites are doing the same thing. I did hear you talk about black on black crime. You know, I myself don't believe in that concept. I believe if you look at a white neighborhood, the whites kill whites, the Spanish kill Spanish, the blacks kill blacks. So you know, I think, you know, that there's a manufacturer culture out here that we all dealing with, all of us as a people,
right.
African-American-wise, we all dealing with the manufacturer culture. Us old guys,
right.
if you want to consider myself old at 53, I don't think so. But us guys that come from an era where we listen to the parents and the neighbors from across the street could tell you shut up and could tell you go home, you know, that's almost a lost culture in itself.
Right. That's right. That's what I was going to say. Guys are talking about how the kids have no respect for our adults. And that's a big difference between from when I was growing up as a kid. You know, no matter what we were doing, even if we were doing something we had no business doing, it kind of shut down when an adult came by. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't have that. We don't have that now. They smoke joint right in front, light a joint up right in front of you, sit on the porch next to you, smoke a joint. They don't care. Cussing, busting,
yeah.
whatever.
And that was a culture then. The fact that people, the baby boomers, the last group of them, the people that's 50 now, came up in a culture where you didn't, where there was shame involved in actions.
Right.
Right now, it's like we live in a shameless culture. You know,
right.
the culture is shameless. And I think the culture of acceptance through whatever is good is going to destroy the fabric of morality. Like, once you start accepting everything, what's the fabric of morality? Like, okay, so what's right and what's wrong now that everything's accepted? There had to be
right.
a tear in the fabric. And I think
right.
that's kind of what it is. It's like, it's no shame because everything's okay.
Right.
You know?
So,
I came from a culture of shame, man. It was you couldn't get caught stealing because your whole family felt the shame.
Right. That's right. So what do you think about the fact that some people may perceive blacks as being aggressive and violent and therefore be fearful of them and are, you know, like the guy, what's the guy, Zimmerman? Therefore he made, this one guy saying that's why people react to us black people the way they do. And, you know, they're scared of us, so, you know, we're liable to get killed because of our reputation that's perceived in the media.
Strange to me, Brother Carlton. I think people who sold black as a behavior need to be held accountable. People
right.
who perpetuate blackness as being as a behavior instead of a race,
right.
a people. It's
right.
like they think black is a behavior. And
right.
I think it's perpetuated now through, you know, through certain, certain media channels and entertainment channels. They perpetuate to people black as a behavior. You know, an angry black man, not an angry man. I've seen all races
right.
get angry of all.
Right.
But when you angry and black, it's spoken different.
Right.
You know, if you tall and black, you know, and there was that. It go all the way back to that movie. I forget the name of it, but it depicted the Klan as saving this white woman from
I know you're talking about something
about
the country, Birth of a Nation,
and it goes all the way back to then predicting that they perpetrated as blackness being a behavior, and it's something that we've
right.
been dealing with ever since. You know, you
right.
remember the days when the whites would drive through your neighborhood and you would hear the doors locking. You remember those days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, for
so,
what? You know, but if you look at TV and you slow down and don't become caught of the matrix and you look at it, you'll realize most of the most heinous crimes are perpetuated by non-blacks.
That's interesting because that's very interesting. And they don't have hoodies on, do they?
No, they don't have hoodies on. They wear their pants up, and they're the big ones. I was
right.
watching something where he was talking about the rape of the Roman Catholic Church, and when they showed the countries and the states that it's in, there's a new movie out on I forget the name of it, I'm sorry for that, but it's a new movie out where they address it. A reporter from New York got inside this and addressed it. And then at the end, they show how many states where this is going on. And I think in New York alone, it was on with 90 priests convicted of molestation of young boys inside the church. And that's, you know, that's a culture in itself. So I think if they're going to depict the behavior as being black, maybe they should look at something like that and call that a black behavior, not a behavior of us as a people.
Are certain people trying to demonize African Americans or black people? What would be the motive for that?
You want me to answer that from my perspective?
Yeah, from your perspective. Yeah, that's what you think.
I think it go all the way back to when we was captured from slaves and brought to this country, and they recognized the power of the black penis could turn white families into black families. And one way was to tell a little white girls black men have tails and criminalize them and make them think they out to get you so you don't marry them, breed to them, because if you breed to them, you're going to destroy the race. I think it all comes down to a race war. I don't think there's a real such thing as prejudice. I think they're killing blacks because it's a race war. I think Hitler knew exactly what he was talking about when he was trying to perpetuate white supremacy through racial breeding and inbreeding and breeding out the Jews and everybody else, because he knew that the bloodlines would be strong. And I think this whole black and white thing all comes down to a racial war. That's what I believe from my perspective. I believe it's all about controlling the population of the black male.
Because most of the planet is dark.
Yeah. And you got to control
the planet
in order for... In order for all other races to maintain a population, you have to control the population of the black male. That's why that's why so many of us in prison. That's why it's open gunfire against us. It's just to control population of the black male. The black male can literally, the black male can literally populate the planet with blackness through his genetics.
Right.
Very strong genetics.
Right.
That's what I, that's my personal
trying to wipe out black dominance.
Sure.
Is that right? White supremacy trying to eradicate black genetic dominance. Is that what you just said in short?
Yes.
That's a short part of it? Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
And I think
I heard that argument.
I think it's done in the food, it's done in the prison, it's done through prison, food, illness, all facets of life just to control the genetics of a black race, period, all over the world. And it's a collaborative effort of all countries. They all know, we all know, we all know. There's no magical they. I hate when I, you know, use that term. We all know what that is. Some of us don't want to deal with it, but I'm a firm believer in it.
Right.
I'm a firm believer in it. I'm a firm believer that why they want us to be saw as angry, violent, murderous, uneducated animals is just so we don't realize our true greatness. But when you look at, you know better than me, because me and you talked about this many times. When you look at the things that even as slaves that lead back to black genius, it's amazing.
Right.
Even through its. Mm. Even as slaves, we came up with so many inventions and concepts that today is, you know, part of the world. So, you know,
this
I think that's
built
the hidden
on the
history.
Back of slaves.
Yeah, yeah, and our intellectual contributions to the country as well as our hard work. We have, you know, histories of, you know, it's hidden, but our intellectual contribution is as serious and as giant as our physical labor.
Wow, that's deep, all right. Oh, you know, it's real. I'm going to say it's real, not deep, because deep might imply that it's something that you might not be able to understand unless you have some kind of different kind of thought process. But that's real. That's what you just said. So, that's right. So you know, this thing with this, so we had the dilemma where gangster rappers were able to earn lots of money by telling or retelling horror stories about the tragedy and trauma of the hood. Maybe it enhanced some of their ability to participate or perpetuate the behavior they described in the lyrics. Maybe it was their way of saying or sounding the alarm about the ills of the community. Maybe they just did it just for the money. But if you're going to blame gangster rappers for the ills of the black community, you must blame the vehicle that propelled them into the spotlight, the media, recording, video, and film industry. I'm sure you will find demand involved in that process. The person said that that we're always trying to blame white folk for white supremacy on our flight. But can we even just have that discussion without speaking about white supremacy or its impact on blacks or African Americans? Can we have a discussion about what ails us without having that discussion about white supremacy and the impact it has on the individual and the community? What do you think about that? We have another caller, Art. Let's try to get this. 6144. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hold on, Art. You're still on. Hello. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, Carlton.
Ken
how
Jones.
You doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm fine, thank
Hello?
You. Hey, Seville, how you doing?
Okay.
How you doing?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hear you real good.
All right. Y'all speaking about what are some of the causes, huh?
Yeah, we're speaking about, I was piggybacking off an author who said that black people basically scapegoat white supremacy for our ills and not taking responsibility for the things that we do, like black-on-black crime. We're not making a big fuss about that, which that's not correct because people have had marches and meetings concerning black-on-black crime. But he feels like we're not taking responsibility for the things that we are responsible for doing. Everything is the problem of the man, which is short for the white man, which is a metaphor for white supremacy.
We participate in all this. I mean, I'm not going to really say, oh, it's the white folks. It's the system that we live under. It's the system that we live under where white folks are in power. But we participate in it. We like you told me Tuesday, we're embedded. We're a partnership with it. And sometimes we got to look at our own behavior. What did we do to cause this? What did we do not to continue some of the struggles that was put back for 100 years ago concerning African Americans? So we got to look at ourselves. I'm not going to use the slogan sellout, but I'm going to use something like we work for them. We want to live in their neighborhoods. We want to raise our families like them. They try to utilize laws and policies to make sure it's modern day. It's modern day to make sure that we follow their lifestyle. Using mass media is one way. What we get to, how we dress, how we eat, what schools to go to, how we marry, what lifestyle to live. So, with all this social media, more people know now. What's your excuse?
Storytelling should be coming in.
Huh? It's not that we're not looking for an excuse. We're just looking for the information. So we want to know, like we said, we take responsibility for what we do, but we also, in taking responsibility for what we do, we don't want to turn a blind eye to oppression and think doors being shut to us and things like that.
No. We can never, ever keep our eye on oppression and racism and all the other isms that you can name out. No, but you can't control that. All you think you control is your own behavior. And the collective that we were talking about last week have a standard. I know we're not monolithic people, but have a generalization of who we are and what we must, a self-identity, a self-awareness. Perfect.
Right. So we need to.
And which is a difficult task. It's a difficult task.
What makes it difficult? Why is it difficult?
We got so much factors and influences. It's a very, it could be done. It was done once before, a couple times before. It could be done, But it's too bad we always want to become a collective society after a tragedy amongst our people that gets international attention.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you the same question I asked. Why do you think that blacks are portrayed as criminals and villains and just bad guys in the media? Why is that allowed? Like, even like, you know, when rap first came out, it was like funny rap. And, you know, then NWA.
Hey, what's the message? What's the message?
They had a message. No, NWA.
Before NWA was message.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And now they have this kind of rap now that I don't know exactly what's going on because I don't really listen to it too much. But I heard a little bit of it, and you know, it's like it's almost like it's dark, and it's not very little message about anything. It's kind of like perpetuates the, you know, the things that we say we shouldn't be about. It's negative.
Money. Money. Greed.
So
money.
Violent sales, are we saying this is a marketing concept? Violent sales?
Yeah.
Sex and violent sales?
Yes.
So
we're
going to push records out like that?
Hey, Carlton, what's the best epic movie that was ever made in the past 100 years of cinema? The Godfather. The Godfather.
Oh, The Godfather trilogy.
Number one movie of all time. And they ain't no but gangsters. And it portrayed some real life
situations. That's right.
But most of
that
stuff
that really happened.
Yes.
Right. I think it's a little deeper than
but
that.
But that's the all time. So America, hold on, America lifestyle. When you talk about American lifestyle, it's all about violence. You know, when the United States become very powerful, right after World War II.
World War II.
Look at the war.
They
look
had
at this country. And the,
They had periods of power surges. But go ahead. I don't want to interrupt your thought.
No, what I'm trying to say
is. We have another caller.
Oh, okay, get that caller.
Art, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I think we have to always stay mindful that the victim is never the cause. And we have to remember that we are continuously victimized. We have to remember that white supremacy is not the white prejudiced man that's living across the street, but supremacy is backed by major money. The prejudiced man across the street is a victim just like you or me are.
Right.
We all
That's
just
right.
victims.
Collateral damage.
We continuously victimize, so we can never say we play a part in anything. It's a constant struggle. The struggle is real, and we have to remember that we have to look at other races that's coming from under suppression. Let's take a look at the Korean-American. They don't march, but they strategically infiltrate the white man's ways without wanting to be part of him, like the brother was talking about. Once we get to realizing the marching ain't the way without a strategic plan to remove the white man from our lives, then we can march until we want. But long as we desire, like the brother was saying, to be part of him and integrated, then we still victims. So I'm not going to ever blame my people for the ills that they suffering when it all started from us being victimized, and the gates of victimizers has always been open. It's a continuous struggle through the selling of the negative rap, through the big money, through white supremacy supporting that. The minute blacks pay attention to something, white supremacy take it over and manipulate it and sell it back to us the way they want it dressed. And it's a constant. So no, we aren't doing anything. We constantly victim. So we can never blame each other. We're constantly victimized. It's only when we recognize that we being victimized from all ways of life, all facets of life, from locking up the fathers, to killing the black men, to trying to turn our mothers into hoes, from everything, it's just the victimizers. And when we realize that all we have is each other, and the power is in each other, it's not in nowhere else, it's not going to be found nowhere else. And that's, I think, you know, for me, I'm never going to say we can have a conversation without saying white supremacy. We don't have to say they're white.
Right.
We can leave the word prejudice out because prejudice don't do anything. It's
right.
just ignorance. White supremacy
right.
is a different animal altogether.
Right. Hey, that's good. That's interesting. We have another caller. You guys hold on. Caller 0036.
Hello, this is Q.
Welcome, Q.
I appreciate everybody calling in. I have a lot of information. I appreciate knowledge. Thank you very much, brothers, sisters. I just want to say one thing about what you was talking about, rap music and everything being corrupted and everything like that. When rap first came out, it was fun, and then they started actually having content in the rap right after it was funny,
right.
before it got into
right.
gangster rap. Because and it seemed like it was a battle there between the corporation hijacking rap and turning into gangster rap. But
yeah.
it seemed like to me it's right about now with some people kind of come out, trying to come up with the content again. You know, not like a whole lot and anything like that. It doesn't really seem like the industry is like, you know, give them that support like they did, like, you know, gangster rap and everything like that, or the, you know, the non-content rap. But there's some
right.
people, you know, stepping up.
Right.
And what I noticed, though, everybody doesn't have, like, every song with content. Some songs are about
right.
a little bit of, you know, non-content, you know what I mean?
Right.
But,
okay.
Yeah, I'm not a diehard rap fan the way I used to be back when it first came out, but I do notice that there are some people kind of stepping up. And that was mainly since the whole Trayvon Martin thing and everything, since all that came to,
right.
you know, came to the front. It seems like there's some people stepping up with that. But it's actually
okay.
always been there. They've just been more underground. They kind of switch where
right.
instead of them being underground, you know, they were mainstream at one point. Now it's trying to flip back around. Now they're underground. So that's all I want to say about that.
Okay, we appreciate it. So basically it sounds like we need to put ethics before culture, that, you know, blacks need to raise the ethical and moral bar in order to achieve higher cultural and economic success. If we do not respect each other, we cannot trust each other. If blacks cannot or will not trust each other, they are doomed to suffer the fate of their division. Blacks need to develop a higher standard of living, social interacting, working, developing economics, etc. Raising the ethical and moral bar will provide a firm foundation for the principles of social, political, and economic interaction and change. Debased ideologies are not or should not be the cultural pillars, guidelines, or norms of any segment of the community. How y'all feel about that? We got about 80 seconds left.
I like that.
Right.
I like to spend my 5 seconds saying I like that. It's like the other brother.
Okay. Thank you. So study yourself to show yourself approved. Malcolm X said, if you want to know where you're going, this speaks to what you said, Art, you have to know where you've been. We have one common denominator, Africa, chattel slavery, the post-Civil War Reconstruction era, Jim Crow, Civil Rights era, and our subjugation to racism. Guess that's more than one. We have suffered enough. Our ancestors have suffered enough. Our ancestors have suffered enough. Now that we know how low we can stoop, let's discover how high we can ascend and rise. Not to be indoctrinated by the customs of our ancestors, but to be enlightened by their living and accomplishment. I want to thank all the brothers for calling in today. I want to thank all listeners. Understand? And I wanted everybody to study the inner you to give strength to the outer you. Search for something greater than yourself, and maybe you will find it. Maybe you will find it was always there in you. Everybody, I want to say thank you one more time. Good night.
Infinite love and gratitude. Good night.
All right, brothers.